Our Heavenly Father, the Lord of glory, the one who has created all things and sustains all things by the word of his power, the one who has watched over us and blessed us richly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you that we can draw near into your very presence in this way as your people. We thank you for the depth of your love towards each one of us, personally, individually, and also together as your people. And Father, we ask that you will help us to grow in our understanding, our appreciation of you, that we may gain an insight into your majesty and your glory, that there may come forth from deep within us a deeper sense of worship and adoration, a worship that is due unto you, more acceptable to you, more befitting in the manner in which we come before you. Father, we ask that you also help us to know the great privileges we have as your children and a deep sense of purpose, joy, and meaning each day that we can walk in your presence and to know your hand upon our lives. Help us to grow in our appreciation of you and help us also to be more earnest and more definite in our response to you and to be faithful, true to you, to know how to cooperate with you, not only to learn from you, but also to be a faithful witness to the truth by our lives, our words, and our deeds. And Father, we thank you also that during this time together, we can come before your presence to learn from you. And we pray that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us. We look to you and we ask that you will protect us during this time. We will not allow the powers of darkness in any way to hinder the communication of the truth or a good reception to the truth. Father, we ask that the Spirit of God will have the freedom to be amongst us, to speak to us, to grant understanding, conviction. And we pray, Father, that we may learn how to value, to treasure the things of God. And so, Father, we entrust this time to your hands, and we ask that you will grant us an enriching time of fellowship and worship, and also a refreshing time as the Spirit of God ministers to us. And as we hearken to what you have to say to us, we entrust this time to your hands with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality. And this is the 102nd message. And we are in the third major category of service, conduct, and action, the 38th message. And we are now considering the subtopic of communication, the second message. Today we continue with consideration of pleasing, pleasant words. Pleasing, pleasant words. And we'll be considering the issue of praises. Praises. In the last message, we saw how words and conduct can be a very helpful, effective means of communication, but we need to bear in mind that appearance can be rather different from reality, and also various problems can arise, leading to various misunderstandings. If you're not careful, we may also be wrongly impressed by words and conduct of someone, and as a result, open up ourselves to rather negative influences. On the other hand, someone and his words and conduct may not appear impressive, and as a result, we do not give it the due attention. when in fact what is being communicated to us can be very significant and important for our lives. We also need to be aware that many who say pleasant things, things that are nice to hear, there may be very little substance and reality and meaning behind it. But at times it can even be worse, because those who say nice, pleasant things may actually harbor negative, evil motives, like the words of Herod to the Magi. And we see that this is actually quite common in the world. We come across such situations frequently. But this is true not only in the world context, but also in religious contexts. And in fact, in some of these contexts, it can be even more dangerous and harmful. If we are not careful, we may be wrongly impressed by various words that sound very positive, but we can be led seriously far astray and come under negative spiritual influences as well as bondage, and even become instruments and tools of the evil one. And we then concentrated on the subject of one category of people who say pleasing and pleasant words, which we should be careful about, beware of, and that is flatterers. In this regard, I mentioned two different aspects of it that we need to be careful about. On the one hand, to be careful, to be on the alert, and beware of succumbing to flattery and its negative effects on our being, our mind, our judgment, and our actions. The second aspect is never be a flatterer. In summary, flatterer or flattering has to do with insincere or exaggerated compliments. And generally, there is an aspect of impurity in the motives involved. Can involve attempts to win over the hearts of people in order to exploit them or for other selfish, improper ends, or so that they can become partial towards the flatterer. And in addition to those two aspects, just bear in mind a third aspect, and that is also to be careful not to encourage flattery from others. Be careful not to succumb to flattery. Do not be a flatterer. But in addition, also take note not to encourage flattery from others. It is not good for you. It is also not good for them. And the way we conduct ourselves can encourage flattery if you're not careful. We can also discourage flattery. I do not intend to elaborate on this point, but just raise for your awareness and to ponder about it in the whole way we conduct ourselves. But in all this, it's helpful to bear in mind the important guiding principle in relationships in this area, and that is we should basically try to seek to promote the principle of being truthful in love. In our own lives, as well as in the lives of others. Even if we want to help someone, we need to be careful that we need to adopt means which are truthful and pleasing to the Lord. The other is we are motivated by love, pure motives. So be truthful in love in our own lives, as well as what we encourage and seek to promote in the lives and attitudes of others. Not just on the basis of whether the words are pleasant and pleasing to the ears. Neither should we go to the other extreme, to go around insulting others, saying nasty things, or just say words that pain others, or become rather crude in our expressions, or failure to be understanding towards others, to be kind, considerate, patient. Words of comfort. Words that are comforting in the right context. Let us bear in mind that we need to be wholesome in our approach, and bear in mind that in the end, we want to live a life that is pleasing before the Lord and build up the lives of others, to be truthful in love. Today I want to consider another related issue, and that is the subject of praises. It's quite clear that generally people like to be praised. It's not common to come across people who do not like to be praised. And generally people like to hear words and expressions of praise. It's also generally regarded as a positive practice, especially if it is sincere and based on truth. It's not exaggerated, it's based on truth, it's sincere from the heart with positive attitudes. Especially such praises will be generally regarded as positive practice, unlike flattery, which is generally recognized as a negative practice. Although even in regards to flattery, though recognized as negative, often it is practiced, and often the hearer also may like it. But with regards to praises, it is generally regarded as a positive practice. And it's not uncommon to come across people who express the views that praises should be encouraged and we should be generous in our praises. It's not uncommon to come across such encouragement, encouraging us to be generous in our praises. But today I want to draw attention to this aspect, and that is that praises can have negative damaging effects on the hearer. Many are not so conscious that words of praise, even with proper motives, and even where it is based on truth, that means it is not exaggerated, can have negative damaging effects on the hearer, and we need to bear in mind to be careful with words of praise. A mayor was being welcomed in a Filipino village by a 3-gun salute. In the Philippines, we know that weapons are quite common. And in one village, this mayor was being welcomed by a 3-gun salute. This 3-gun salute is not by the big cannons, but the context is likely to be actually a small gun, because one of the bullets hit him in the chest. After investigation, it was quite clear that it was not an assassination attempt. There was no intention to hurt him. The intention was to welcome him and to honor him, but he still ended up in hospital. And sometimes praises also can be like that. Even though there's no ill intention, the intention is a genuine expression of commendation of the person, but it can still hurt the person. A helpful verse in the scriptures for us to ponder over on this subject of praises is in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21. Proverbs 27, verse 21. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace for gold. And a man is tested by the praise accorded him. The crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold. And a man is tested by the praise accorded him. In particular, take note, a man is tested by the praise accorded him. Have you ever thought of it in this way when you're praising someone? Whether it be your children, friends, that you're actually putting him to the test, we may not be so conscious that this can actually be happening. And there are some of us who may actually find this test even more difficult to pass, to fare well, than in many other areas. Some of us can be rather vulnerable to this area, and generally, most people need to be rather careful when they are praised, that they do not fail the test, that it doesn't result in negative effects upon our lives. But we want to ask ourselves this question: why is it so? Why is it like that? Especially if praises are sincere, then why is it putting the person to the test? Why does the scripture say a man is tested by the praise accorded him? What does it mean to praise someone? Basically, you can say that praising someone involves commending him on his qualities, attainments, achievements. Not just commenting on his conduct or his achievements alone, but basically it involves commending him. Not just making comments on certain things that he does. It can involve that, but when you praise someone, it involves commending that person, whether it be qualities within him, his character and so on, or his attainments, his achievements, but it involves commending him. And why is it putting the person to the test? It's because when you commend someone, either qualities within him, his attainments, or his achievements, the one hearing it, the recipient — I say recipient because sometimes it can be hearing through hearing, sometimes it can be through something that you write to somebody, he has read it. So the recipient may not be able to receive it well. It can have an unsettling effect on the person. It can also disrupt and hinder the person's positive development. You may be sincere when you praise the person because he may actually be making good progress, developing well, and then you praise him, and if he cannot take it well, it can actually disrupt that positive development that's taking place. It can hinder his positive development. It can unsettle him. It can promote pride in the person. It can result in an unhealthy self-consciousness, because praising a person, as I mentioned, it involves commending that person, and that it can result in unhealthy self-consciousness. It can also result in the person dwelling on the words of praise. If you commend a person that he can pray very well, after that, the words may keep coming back to him that he can pray very well. And the evil one, who seeks to destroy us whenever he can, he will try to take advantage in all these various directions to unsettle you, to promote pride, to make you dwell on the words of praise, to promote an unhealthy self-consciousness. And such negative effects are not rare nor uncommon when a person is praised. So we need to be prayerful, we need to be careful in this area. We'll see later that there is a place for praising, for praises, but we mustn't take for granted that it is a very positive thing all the time and be careless about it. We need to be prayerful, to be careful in this area. And we need to bear in mind the persons involved, how it is done, including the content and the words used. Bear in mind the persons involved, how it is done, including the content, the words used, the manner in which you go about it. I elaborate on these aspects. One aspect we should bear in mind is the communicator, the one who is communicating the praise. The more highly esteemed the communicator in the eyes of the hearer or the recipient, then the greater will tend to be the impact. If the hearer doesn't hold the communicator in high regard, then the praise usually will not have much impact. But if the one communicating is very highly esteemed in the eyes of the hearer, then the words of praise will tend to have greater impact. And if highly esteemed, then the impact can be quite great. And if the words used are unrestrained, then the impact can be very great. And also the more easily for there to be an unsettling effect on the hearer. In the non-spiritual context, we also can be quite conscious, we can also quite readily see this if we ponder about it. For example, in a country, if a very prominent person in the country, say the Prime Minister, were to commend a citizen of the country or civil servant that his work performance is very good or he's very reliable, and if this person is highly esteemed in the eyes of the hearer, it's quite easy for the person to feel the impact very strongly, and for many days may keep thinking about what he has heard. Likewise, in the spiritual context, if there's someone the hearer deeply respects and regards as mature, godly, spiritual, were to praise him for qualities in his life, for example, his character, his attitudes, or his spiritual attainments, for example, comments like, you are very humble, you're well disciplined, or you can pray rather well, such words of praise and commendation is likely to have a greater impact on the hearer or recipient than if the words were to come from someone else whom the hearer does not hold in high regard. Then, some comments on the hearer. Bear in mind also that, regards to the hearer, that some are more susceptible to problems in this area. That means more susceptible to being negatively affected when he's praised. And we need to bear that in mind. Especially those with the problem of pride, or have problem in this area of pride. Tendency to self-exaltation, or someone who has a deep longing for recognition. And at times may not be very obvious, but deep within there is this longing for recognition, and this is not uncommon. Many believers long for recognition, especially from those that they respect. And it can result in problems, especially if it's not just by longing for recognition here. To me, I'm using it in a sense whereby there's an element there that is not so wholesome. Not just that you're concerned about your life, and when there are those you respect who can help you understand more accurately that you are going on reasonably or you're making good progress, you're glad that you're making progress. But it is an unwholesome longing within to hear words of commendation and recognition from others. In the scriptural record, there are indications that Absalom seems to belong to this category, and the praises accorded him are likely to have aggravated his problem of pride and self-exaltation, and we know that in the scriptures it culminated in his rebellion and plotting to seize the throne from King David, his own father, contrary to the will of God. Let us turn to 2 Samuel chapter 14. Samuel chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. Verse 25 of 2 Samuel 14. Now in all Israel was no one as handsome as Absalom, so highly praised from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. There was no defect in him. And when he cut the hair of his head, and it was at the end of every year that he cut it, for it was heavy on him, so he cut it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels, by the king's wit. He was handsome and highly praised. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no defect in him. This man, Absalom, highly praised. And if you look on in the chapter 15, verse 4, we find him harboring negative ambitions, improper ambitions. Verse 4, moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that one would appoint me judge in the land, then every man who has any suit or cause could come to me, and I would give him justice." Here are people who have suits against each other, complaints against each other. They were coming to the king for judgment, and Absalom would meet them and say things like that. But the implication, "Oh, that one would appoint me judge in the land." And these people are coming to the king, so he wants to be in a position of power, authority to be judge. And in this context, actually, there's implication of kingship, because the people were coming to the king for judgment. Verse 2, it happened when any man had a suit to come to the king for judgment, Absalom would say these things to the people. And it actually began to move in that direction. I'll just read one more verse. Verse 10, but Absalom sent spies through all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron." So he went on to plot to seize the throne from David, and it led to a very serious civil war in which many people died. Absalom, from the records and scriptures, the indications that this area of problem of pride and the praises that were accorded him are likely to have aggravated this problem of pride in him. So we need to bear in mind, some are more susceptible to problems in this area, and in such context, we have to exercise even greater care if we were to consider praising such a person. Relevant to bear in mind also is the area of commendation. What is the issue? What is the area they were commending? Are we commending a person's moral, spiritual qualities and accomplishments, or ability, accomplishments in technical areas, skills, and other non-moral, spiritual areas? When I say non-moral, spiritual, because mere technical skills, abilities in those areas, it's not a moral, spiritual issue. Likewise, academic capabilities and attainments, these are non-moral, spiritual issues. But if you were to comment on a person's character, that would be a moral issue. Progress in those areas, or spiritual progress, spiritual service, that would be involving spiritual accomplishments. Generally, believers, especially those who love the Lord, who have made some degree of progress in the Lord, they will tend to be more sensitive to commendation on their moral, spiritual qualities and attainments and achievements in these areas. And we need to exercise greater care when we commend, we are making comments on these areas in the direction of praises. Although it does not mean that believers are not sensitive to remarks on non-spiritual moral areas, for example, even educational attainments or intelligence, capabilities in various areas. But generally, those who love the Lord will tend to be more sensitive to comments on moral, spiritual qualities and achievements rather than non-moral, spiritual areas. Let us take note that words of appreciation and encouragement, especially with sincerity and positive attitudes, can be appropriate and rather helpful in our relationship with people generally, as well as amongst the brethren. But we need to be more careful with direct words of praise. And generally, it is preferable to be a bit restrained rather lavish in our commendation. But you may ask, what is the difference? How do we illustrate the difference? There's a difference between A, showing appreciation for a person's generosity and hospitality, for example, expressing words to the effect, thank you for this, or thank you for doing that for me. It was helpful. It is appreciated. So it's showing appreciation. You thank the person and you express that that has been helpful and that is appreciated. But that's different from B saying you are a very generous person. Even more so if you were to add words like it would be good if there are more people like you. Well, you smile, but it is not. Have we not heard expressions like this? But notice B is directly commending and praising the person. You are a very generous person. You're commending the person directly. Whereas A, you're expressing appreciation for the deed that is done. That was helpful to you and you appreciate it. Yes, that person has done it, but the emphasis is more on you're benefiting from what the person has done. You're not commending the person so directly. Or A comments along the directions that the sharing or the message was beneficial, helpful, edifying. This is different from saying B, when you say you can share very well, very effectively, or you can share in a way that's very edifying, or you're a very good, or you're an excellent preacher, or you can pray very well, or sometimes you may even hear people saying words to the effect, you are a powerful or mighty prayer warrior, and we need more people like that. Well, in some contexts we do hear such expressions. In some contexts, when the person says such things, the speaker may not mean very much, even when they say such things. But the hearer may go away, keep on dwelling on the content and on the phrase, mighty prayer warrior. And it can be there for many days to come. Even many months later, you may still recall that someone has said of you that you are a mighty prayer warrior. It can be rather unsettling, can become a distraction, and it can have rather negative effects on you. And the one who has said it carelessly may not realize what kind of damage he may have done to your life. So I want to draw attention to a difference. A focuses more on the beneficial effects on the recipient or the hearer, and can be primarily referring to and can also help remind the one who is remind the hearer of God's enabling. So for example, if you express that the sharing was rather beneficial to me, it's more the beneficial effects, and it can be a reference primarily and can help the one who has heard it, who is at the receiving end, that the Lord has enabled, and it can then lead to thanksgiving. Thankful to the Lord has enabled, that someone has benefited, someone has been edified by the sharing. And A also, you notice the words and expressions are more restrained. The sharing was beneficial, it was helpful, it was edifying. But B, the focus is more on the person. On the person, on his attainment, his accomplishments, his spirituality. You can share very well. You can share very effectively. You are an excellent preacher or very good preacher, or you can pray very well. It centers on the person and his accomplishments, his attainments, or you are very generous. And also the words and expressions are less, or you can say unrestrained. So instead of just saying it's beneficial, it's edifying, you say very effective, very edifying, can pray very well. We can be relatively more free to encourage someone making efforts to work out his life, or someone who is contributing to and seeking to work out in church life, by saying words to the effect. It's encouraging, or it's good to see that you're making efforts to work out your life, or to that it's good to see you're making efforts in working in church life, rather than words to the effect that you or your life is an example to the brethren. The whole way you are working out your life, or the way you're working out in church life, is an example to the brethren. It's good if more can be like you, or more will follow your example, or more can be influenced by your example. Now, such words, though on the face of it you may say that you mean it, you're sincere, it's true, that's how it is, the way he's working out his life. You are encouraged that the person is making efforts to work out his life, to work out church life. And you may also say, it's true, I wish that more can be like that. But if you were to say it in those ways, the likelihood of such words having the kind of unsettling effect on the person is much greater than just to express in the direction of words to the effect that you're glad that the person is making efforts to work out his life, or making efforts to work out church life. Another aspect that we should take note of is that lack of wisdom in expressing praises can also promote in some an unhealthy longing for it, an unhealthy dependence on it, so that without a regular dosage, they find it difficult to carry on. So from time to time, they may require praises. If not, they find it difficult to carry on. If you're unhealthy, you're not wise in the way you go about it, it can promote that kind of thing. An unhealthy longing for it, as well as unhealthy dependence on it. And it can, together with that, promote a wrong focus, a wrong concentration on praises of men, on pleasing men, and receiving the approval of men, rather than focus, concentration on God and truth, and what is appropriate and meaningful objectively in any given context. If you are not wise in the way we praise others, it can blur in them the important principle that ultimately the true concern for a believer who really loves the Lord ultimately ought to be the approval of God and what is pleasing to God, and a life based on truth, even if man does not approve. Mark Twain has been quoted as saying, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. And as we consider this quotation of what he's quoted as having said, we know that in reality, in principle, this is quite reflected in many people, including believers. When they receive praises, it can have quite an impact upon their lives and can, in inverted commas, sustain them for quite a while. But should we encourage this kind of thing in believers, a kind of dependence? And after 2 months, maybe he requires another dosage of another good compliment. And for others, it may require even more and more regular intervals. Is it, if we are not wise, we can encourage longing for as well as dependence on praises of men to keep us going? Let us pay heed to the warning of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 44. The Lord Jesus says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? The Lord Jesus is describing something that is negative, something that is hindering the people. And in this context, it says it hinders their positive reception of the truth, recognition of the truth, and response to Him and to the God, to God the Father. He says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another? Not that it is always wrong when people commend one another, but notice here that this receiving glory from one another hinders their believing in the truth, and it is also linked to the second part, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. In other words, your primary concern should be seeking the glory from the one and only God. That must be your primary concern and focus. But if you are not careful, then your focus shifts. You're overly concerned with seeking glory from one another, from men. If your primary concern is not God's approval and God's commendation and what is pleasing to God, but it shifts to what is pleasing to men and the praises of men, then it becomes a significant problem in our spiritual development, in our walk with God. An illustration of this taking place, let us turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. The ministry of the Lord Jesus. Verse 42 says, nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. So many of these who believed in the Lord Jesus were not confessing him. Now this is clearly something that is not good. They believed in him, but they were not confessing him. Then it explains to us why. Why is it they were not responding well? They were not confessing the Lord. Verse 43. For they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Now, it does not mean that when man approves us, it is in itself negative, harmful, wrong all the time. But we see here these people becoming more concerned about the approval of men rather than the approval of God. So this kind of desire for the approval of men is negative kind, unwholesome, it's not good. This form, they become more concerned about the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And if we are not wise in the way we praise other people, including believers, we can promote, generate in them this kind of longing and preoccupation with commendation, approval, praises of men, rather than the primary concern whether God approves of our lives, whether God is pleased with our lives, and to be satisfied that if God really approves of our lives, that is what counts. And whether we are walking in the truth, whether our life is based on the truth, will that satisfy us? Is that sufficient? Even if others do not approve. Let us take note of an important principle of approach in our lives, and that is our true motivation in life ought to be faithful and true to God and live by the truth we have come to recognize. This is very basic, fundamental, and crucial for believers. Our true motivation in life ought to be faithful and true to God and to live by the truth we've come to recognize, even if nobody notices it, even if nobody expresses appreciation for it, or even if at times others were to misunderstand us or to be unhappy with us or even to make life difficult for us, put various obstacles in our way, make problems for us because we are faithful to the Lord and seek to live by the truth. Of course, provided we have properly done our part. We have not been unwise in unnecessarily antagonizing others or causing them to misunderstand us or to provoke them unnecessarily. But basically, we must be careful that our true motivation in life is to be true and faithful to God and to live by the truth we've come to recognize. The principle sounds obvious, straightforward. But if we can properly receive this truth into our lives and it can be a deeply embedded, deeply incorporated, deeply a part of our lives, and very consciously we are living in this way all the time, it can free us from many, many problems and complications and anxieties and negative effects that many believers experience from time to time. Many anxieties, much anxiety, and many unnecessary complications and problems and hindrance in our walk with God arises because we are unduly affected by comments of others, views of others, or whether they do not take proper note of what we are doing or show appreciation for us, commend us, praise us, because we have not found it sufficient just to be true and faithful to God. That isn't sufficient for us. We must come to the point of recognition and properly live by this principle. That basically, if we can be true to God, that is sufficient for us. Then our lives will be truly meaningful, blessed of the Lord, and will be fruitful if we have walked in a light, in a manner that is truly pleasing to God. That should be sufficient for us. Lack of wisdom in praising someone can hinder the person from recognizing and living by this principle. Let us bear in mind this. What we've been considering so far is also rather relevant to parents bringing up children. On the one hand, parents should not be unnecessarily harsh, unnecessarily rebuke and punish the children excessively. Words of encouragement can be rather helpful for a child's development. But bear in mind, lack of wisdom in praising the child and praising children excessively can promote a pride. I do have concern for the child who frequently receives such remarks from his parents, which we do at times hear, remarks such as, "Oh, how clever of you to say this," or "How clever of you to be able to do that," words to that effect, or "Clever boy, mommy or daddy is so proud of you," and especially for those who already have problem with pride, such remarks can have rather damaging effects on the person, and in years to come we may deeply regret that we have unwisely, negatively contributed to negative traits in the child's life, and even when he grows older, they remain and become very difficult to correct. Or B, the overdependence on a regular diet of praises that's detrimental to the child's moral and spiritual development. Rather, we need to bear in mind that the child should be helped more and more to be motivated in their lives by their love for the Lord and the fact that that is the path of truth. That's the correct way to live their lives. To recognize the importance and meaningfulness of living in this way by helping them to recognize, to appreciate that that is the basis of a life of blessedness for his own life, as well as that is the life of love and positive contribution to the lives of others, a life that is truly pleasing to God, rather than doing things in order to receive praises from the parents. Especially as the child grows older, with increasing ability to understand things, he ought to be increasingly helped to be motivated in this way. It's true that when the child is very young, he needs much encouragement. And a child, when very young, may not quite understand or more difficult to understand other forms of encouragement. And sometimes words of encouragement in the direction of commending the child for certain responses that are more positive can encourage the child in his development. That may be so. But more and more, to the degree that you recognize the child is able to understand things, we have to be very careful and prayerful that we do not develop or encourage development of pride in the child, and also to know how to motivate the child properly, motivated in a direction of living in accordance with the truth and love for the Lord, and to recognize that that is the basis of a life of blessedness. I came across what is supposed to be a Chinese proverb that can help illustrate some negative aspects we've been considering associated with lack of wisdom in praising someone. And it goes like this: never praise a woman too highly. If you stop, she'll think you don't love her anymore. If you keep it up, she'll think she's too good for you. So if you praise the woman too highly, you have a problem either way. If you stop, she'll think you don't love her anymore. But if you keep it up, she'll think she's too good for you. And this proverb illustrates two negative aspects of lack of wisdom in praising someone, male or female. Although here it talks about praising a woman, but it applies, male or female, the principle involved. And that is a unhealthy dependence or longing for praises. So you see, you praise the woman too highly, then if you stop, she'll think you don't love her anymore. She longs for it, becomes an unhealthy dependence on it. You have to keep praising her in that way. On the other hand, you keep it up, she'll think she's too good for you. Pride. You keep praising her. More and more she believes you. He says you praise her too highly. Then she believes you that she is so good. So pride develops and it ends up she thinks that she's too good for you. I'll go on to some concluding remarks and observations. Having caution about the dangers and damaging effects that can arise associated with praising someone, let us also take note that there is a proper place for praises. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Paul says, in writing to the Corinthian believers, "Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you." Paul mentions, he praised the Corinthians, because you remember me in everything, and it was helpful for them that they constantly remember Paul and how his example to them, as well as his teachings and how he has helped them. And this is helpful for their development, their remembrance of him, and how they hold firmly to the traditions, just as he delivered them to him, just as he delivered the traditions to them. So it's meant as an encouragement to them in these directions, that this is helpful for their lives. Phrases can at times be strong encouragement to the hearer or recipient if properly communicated, if it's appropriate in the timing and the manner in which it is communicated, the content as well as the words. But we need to be prayerful, to exercise care, and to bear in mind that it can be damaging. So the first point is some comments on the one who is praising. The one who is praising. Do not think that freely praising others is a helpful practice, though it may be often advocated to be generous with your praises. Do not stinge in this area, but be generous. Yes, it may make you popular. It may make many people like you. It may also make many people happy to hear your words of praise. But we need to ask ourselves, does it really edify? Does it really build up? Does it really help the hearer? Often in many contexts we hear people advocating to be generous with praises. It's because it can make you popular. People like you. People like to hear praises. But as believers, we need to ask ourselves the more important question, whether does it really edify, build up, does it really help the hearer in a positive direction? Let us bear in mind that it can be damaging rather than edifying. We need also to take note that what is often classified under praises is actually flattery. Exaggerated praises, insincere compliments with selfish, improper motives. But people say it's praises. But often, what goes under praises is actually flattery. Also bear in mind that freely dispensing praises also reduces its value and impact. If we think that praising someone can be rather helpful as an encouragement, help that person, bear in mind, there may be those who advocate generosity in praises. But if you keep on praising a person, besides other complications, it will also lose its value and its impact. We pause a while, we'll realize that even for ourselves, if we keep on hearing someone praising us, when the person praises us again, it has very little impact on us. But someone who is more prayerful and more careful, when he praises us, we know it's after due consideration, the impact is greater. So even in positive aspects, when it's positive, freely dispensing praises can reduce its value, positive value and impact. So generally, it's not advisable to be lavishly, freely praising others, but better to be a bit restrained and to be prayerful. Restrain not just in frequency, but also a bit restrained in the expressions we use and the words that we use. We need also to bear in mind the appropriate timing, the manner of it. But when it's appropriate, at the right time, the right manner, praises can be rather helpful. An observation I'd like to make as I was pondering over the subject of praises and pondering over the scriptures and looking through the scriptures on this subject of praises. This is an observation. I noticed that the scriptures mentions praises in positive and appropriate context many times. That means it records, references, verses mentioning, talking about praises that is in a positive and appropriate context. It does mention this many times. But though it mentions praises in positive and appropriate context many times, almost all the occurrences in the scriptures refers not to praising men, but praising God. Yes, we should learn to praise God, to do so constantly and meaningfully from our hearts. Not just words, but from our hearts, and to know, understand why we are praising God, and to develop a healthy spirit of thanksgiving and praising God from our hearts for who He is and thanking Him for what He has done and provided for our lives. There are many, many occurrences in the scriptures of praising God. But references to praising men in positive and appropriate context, very few occurrences and very few references. There are general scriptural exhortations for us to love one another, to care for one another, to edify one another, to provoke or stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Also exhortations to encourage one another, but have not been able to find a general exhortation to praise one another. Although there are many exhortations and calls to praise the Lord. It's just an observation as I look through the scriptures and the subject of praises. I want to go on to the second point, considering the one receiving praises. The one receiving praises. If we are at the receiving end, someone praises us, we need to be prayerful. At the outset, we need to bear in mind that we are what we are. Whatever level of spirituality or spiritual attainments we have attained up to that level, and praises in themselves do not make us better people. If we have attained up to that level, or we have failed to attain, whatever stage we have arrived at, we are at that point, at that stage of development. If nobody praises us, we are still at that stage. And having heard the praise, the fact that someone has praised us, that in itself does not make us better people. Yet at the same time, we need not reject praises when we hear them. Neither do we need to draw back in fear. Neither do we need to feel offended, unhappy with someone who has praised us. But rather, we should prayerfully consider whether it is valid. Is the praise valid? Is it appropriate? Is it true we are actually like that? Is it meaningful in the eyes of the Lord? If it is valid, it is true that it is that way. For example, if we are making progress in our lives, or we are working at it as something, and someone commends us in that direction, or the Lord has enabled us to serve Him in a certain context, and words of commendation we hear in that direction, if it is valid, then we must thank the Lord from the heart. When I say thank, I emphasize thank the Lord from the heart, it's because if we are not careful, we may be thanking God from our lips or in our minds. Inwardly, without voicing it, we may be thanking God, but deep within, we are preoccupied with the praises and receiving it for ourselves. Rather, we should thank the Lord for what He has done in and through our lives, because we know there is nothing that we can attain to or we can accomplish that is of any value in God's kingdom or in the sight of God, which God Himself has not done in and through our lives. As the Lord Jesus says, it's only as we abide in Him and He in us that we can produce fruit. unless the Lord does something in our hearts and enable us to do something, there cannot be anything valuable or truly praiseworthy. Anything that is of real value in the kingdom of God, it must be because God has done it in our lives and through our lives. Because of our own, in the flesh, in the natural strength, we can never attain to or accomplish anything of value in God's kingdom. So we must genuinely thank the Lord. If there's validity in praises, then we must thank the Lord from the heart for what He has done in our lives. We're deeply thankful that He has so worked in our lives. He has enabled us to contribute something in other people's lives or in His kingdom, and carry on humbly and earnestly. Deeply thankful that we have this privilege to have a part in the Lord's work. And as an encouragement, we carry on to be more earnest in our development and seeking to contribute further in the Lord's work. Properly received praises should be a very humbling experience, that God should see it fit to work through weak, fallible people like us, especially with a consciousness there are still so many deficiencies in our lives, and God still is willing to give us the privilege to have a part in His work. If we learn how to receive praises properly, it should be a very humbling experience and also a strong encouragement to us to be more earnest in our faithfulness to God and to work harder. Together with that, there should be a recognition within us that there's so much more yet to be done in the Lord's work, and not to become complacent. As well, there's so much more yet that the Lord has to do in our lives. There's still so much more we need to look into, whether in our lives or in the Lord's work. Deficiencies, areas to deal with, positive areas to attain. We must be very conscious of God's very high calling. We are still so far short. But whatever praises that are valid should be an encouragement to us to press on with greater determination, knowing that our earnestness by the Lord's enabling will not be in vain. But we need to be alert, to be careful when we hear praises from someone, to be prayerful and to be careful, to be alert that our self-life do not become exaggerated and grow. We mustn't feed the self-life. It mustn't move in a direction of self-exaltation. And we must not become preoccupied with the words of praise in an unhealthy way. Encouragement to us, yes, but not keep on thinking about the words of praise in a way that leads to self-exaltation or resulting in a development of hunger for more praises, or become miserable if after a while we do not hear further praises, or we cannot live well without hearing praises from others from time to time. Let us, when we hear praises from others, remember Proverbs 27:21, that the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by the praise accorded him. Let us be prayerful and remember these words in Proverbs, that we do not become negatively affected by the praise, but prayerfully look to the Lord so that we can respond well. That we do not become disrupted in our positive development in the Lord, or in any way lead to damaging effects on our lives. Let us remember that it is not easy to maintain a proper posture in response to praises. Let us not take this too lightly. No problem. Let us be careful that we do not let it unsettle us or allow the praises to puff us up. We should also be careful that we do not have or adopt the kind of disposition of readily accepting, believing favorable remarks and observations about our lives, even if it is not accurate. And this is quite common amongst people, including believers. Believers, people in general, as well as believers, we tend to have this kind of disposition. When people say favorable remarks about us, we tend to readily receive it, readily believe it, even if it is not accurate. And on the other hand, resistant and a tendency to reject adverse remarks or observations about our lives, even if it is rather helpful, even if accurate or helpful. Let us take heed, be careful. There's a tendency to be resistant, tendency to reject when we hear adverse remarks and observations. Even when they are helpful, they are accurate, they are relevant for us. But even if it's not absolutely accurate, let us also ponder whether there are aspects that are relevant that we can learn from, steps that we can take. In other words, our primary concern at all times should be the truth. How God actually views us, that should be our primary concern, as well as a deep concern within us to make good progress in the Lord. So when people make favorable remarks about us, let us not be unduly eager to believe in them or to receive them. Neither does it mean that we have to feel offended, but our primary concern should be, what is the truth about our lives? Likewise, adverse remarks. Primary concern is it true? Is my life that way? And not just, is it true? Voicing it verbally or within us, just asking ourselves, is it true? I'm saying that within us there is genuinely that deep desire to really understand the truth, to look to the Lord to understand how the Lord actually views us, and then how to make progress from there. It seems simple, obvious, straightforward, but if only we can really adopt this posture, it would make a real difference in our lives. It would be very helpful. If really our disposition is this way, really basically concerned about the truth, how God really views us, and how to make progress from there, and whatever comments people may make of us, our primary concern is what's the truth, and what we can learn from the situation, and how to go on from there meaningfully. Appropriate praises that are properly received, canned, and ought to be a humbling experience and a positive experience in our lives. It should lead to thanksgiving. It should be an encouragement to greater earnestness in response to the Lord and to the truth. But at the same time, we need to bear in mind that we cannot take for granted when we hear praises that it will have a positive effect upon our lives. It can have damaging effects upon our lives if we are not careful. We will stop here for today. Brief summary of what we have considered for today. We have been considering the subject of communications, appearance and reality. Pleasing, pleasant words. People like to hear such things. But that does not mean that pleasing, pleasant words are always beneficial, helpful for our lives. It can be rather damaging. We have considered in the previous message various contexts where it can be rather damaging, including the subject of flattery. Today we considered the issue of praises. Praises generally may be regarded as a positive practice, but let us realize that even the area of praises, and even in contexts where those who praise us may be sincere, and their motives, and even if the remarks of the praise is based on truth, it can still have damaging effects on our lives. The praises which involves commending a person on his qualities, his attainments, his achievements. The scriptures tells us that a man is tested by the praises accorded him. We need to be prayerful and careful, because praises can unsettle us, can promote pride, unhealthy self-consciousness. Dwelling on the words of praise, it can disrupt our positive development in the Lord. We need to bear in mind, be careful, prayerful, bear in mind the persons involved, how it is done, the words used, the content, the manner of doing so. Bear in mind the one who is communicating and what kind of effect it may have on the hearer. Bear in mind also the hearer. Some are more susceptible to problems in this area. Some are more susceptible or sensitive to different ones are more susceptible to different areas of commendation. So bear in mind, do not go about lavishly, freely praising others, but to be prayerful and to be a bit restrained in this area. Words of appreciation, encouragement may be appropriate and helpful, but be more careful with direct words of praise. And another aspect to bear in mind is that lack of wisdom in expressing praises can promote in some an unhealthy longing for it and dependence on it, and it can blur the important principle that a person's true concern in life for a believer ought to be the approval of God and what is pleasing to God, and a life based on truth rather than whether man approves of it, man praises us, what is pleasing to man. And what we've been considering is also relevant for parents bringing up children. There is a proper place for praises, properly received. It can be a very humbling and positive experience, leading to thanksgiving to God, as well as encouragement to greater earnestness in response to Him and to the truth. But it is an area that we cannot take for granted, but to be wise, prayerful about it. Whether we are the ones praising others or we are at the receiving end. Let us now spend some time to ponder over our lives before the Lord. Let us ponder over whether our true motivation in life is to honor the Lord, to be true and faithful to Him, to live by the truth we've come to recognize, or we need many other things to satisfy us, whether it be people praising us or noticing us and what we are doing, or we'll be deterred if people were to make unfavorable comments. Do we readily receive and believe favorable comments even if they are not accurate? Are we resistant? Tendency to reject adverse remarks about us even if they are helpful, relevant? Let us ask the Lord to help us to understand our true state, and if there are aspects or attitudes, dispositions within us that are not helpful, let us face it and ask the Lord to help us. not to agree with what ought to be the correct disposition, but how to firmly adopt the correct posture and disposition, and that the true motivation for our lives may become a deep reality within us and not just something that we acknowledge ought to be. Our Father in Heaven, we are deeply thankful to you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Lord Jesus was willing to come to this earth to suffer and to die, to bear the punishment due to us on the cross. We thank you that through the shedding of his blood, we who personally respond to him in repentance and faith may receive forgiveness for our sins, be reconciled to God, and also that we can become children of God, and we can receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, the Spirit of God, who dwells in us, who guides us, who teaches us, and who strengthens us to learn to glorify Christ in our lives. Father, we ask that you will help us, that more and more we may be deeply impressed and convicted with the truth of what it means to be truly motivated in life by the truth, by the longing to be true and faithful unto you. We know that there are many distractions, many difficulties that may come our way, many distractions in this world, and we know that the powers of darkness, the evil one, is active with many wiles and schemes. And we ask that you will help us to be prayerful, that we may not unnecessarily falter, become entangled, or led astray. Father, we ask that you will help us to draw near to you, to keep close to you, to ensure that each day our lives are grounded in the truth, that we may be led by the Spirit, that more and more we may learn to be one with you, that our character, our values may be in line with the character of God and the values of God's kingdom. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper that the Lord Jesus has instituted for our welfare. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you prepare each one of us as we partake of the Lord's Supper, that you cleanse us from all our sins, that you help us to put away all improper, negative longings, desires, whatever is pleasing in your sight, whatever is contrary to your will. We pray, we give you thanks, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's Supper has been instituted by the Lord Jesus for all those who know him and love him personally as Savior and Lord. Children in our midst who, to a degree, you can understand, even if it's not suitable for you because of age to partake of the Lord's Supper physically, you can also, to a degree you're able to, join the meaning of it in your heart and spirit. So those, even amongst the children, if you love the Lord, you can understand, to a degree you can also join in heart and spirit and benefit spiritually. In our time together, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's a time where we come together and we can be strengthened and renewed afresh by the life of the Lord, a time when we can draw near to God, our oneness with the Lord can be deepened, our oneness in the body can be deepened, and a deeper appreciation of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross. and a time where we can affirm afresh our love for the Lord, our commitment to Him, our desire to be obedient to Him, and all that He desires of our lives.